feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
Hi, George.
Oh, we're doing this, huh?
We're live now.
I live so close to you.
I know. You told me we couldn't come over because you're so in the middle of a move.
Look at all this shit. this is a box of the mode of the interface that I'm using currently. This has been packed away anywhere. Because I saved the box. I can't throw this away. does our guest of our show, Dorian Vasquez.
Hey. Welcome to the
Thank
show.
Do you save boxes too, like a fucking hoarder? Oh, he's taking us. We're going on a trip.
We're going to the
well,
box
these
place.
The ones in here right now.
Boxes.
Yeah, literally the entire living room was covered in boxes because I just got this guy. Nice. That. Let's see. Hang on.
For the listeners, it's a bag.
It's a bag. It's a long bag, which means it's a bigger box.
I got a whole pack of boxes right here.
Oh, I do too.
A box of boxes? Do you have a box of boxes? I had one of those at one point.
They just became the cat's scratch station. Yeah.
Nice.
There's more in the corner there. The cat hides in them now.
Welcome to Box Talk, everybody. We have Dorian Vasquez with us.
Yeah.
How do you feel? How do you feel about 8x6x6s? Those are good boxes, right?
8x6x6.
Yeah, they're small, but they're good. They're good.
Wow. What do you put in an 8x6x6?
Mostly like a pedal.
So we really are turning this into box talk.
Box talk.
I think box. I need a good box. To me, is like twice the size of that. Where like anything could fit in it.
When you worked.
I did save my favorite box.
Show us.
Why tell you when I can show you? It's just a perfectly square.
That's a really good box.
We have that that water thing also. That little flower dispenser, whatever.
Macho Man Randy Savage has a great life. That's my cat.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I was, so I don't know if you know this because I've been going through like a back issue. Dan can attest from last week. I can move around now, which is great. But I forced myself because I am back in Philadelphia and I was like, I'm going to do something. And I caught your set at Tattooed Mom on Wednesday. But then
you were there?
I was there, but then I had to like find a seat at the bar and
had
then
to
just
hobble away.
Yeah, I was just like, I am sitting now.
Wow, dude.
But
I ran into so many random people that week. That's crazy. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Such fun. No, but I was gonna say your Meowcho Man Randy Savage won that crowd over.
They were
iffy on almost every comedian, and then you were like, my cat's named after a wrestler, and they're like, fuck yeah, good man. Yeah.
This is who we've been waiting for.
I was surprised, like up in the front of that crowd, it was like, oh wow, it's a lot of older people are at this show.
It's like probably like people brought their parents that were in that weekend. People,
yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. I had a weird moment because I had to go after Leah Renee, and I said something about her like she's such a cool lady. She's the cool aunt that your kid will eventually come out to.
Yeah,
and it's like. You could see the young people in the room just cheer, and they were like,
"Yeah, they're like, am I the cool aunt? No.
Yeah, they were like,
yeah, they're all like goals.
You're here at this bar, and think it's a novelty that you're here at this bar. Like the cool aunt just goes to the Tattooed Mom.
Yeah, yeah. The cool aunt knows whose skateboard is staple to the ceiling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's an original Brian. Yeah, yeah. it's like an original Brian 6. Yeah.
If your aunt knows Gummo in the film, like that's the aunt you come out to. All right. Well, we're doing a Feel Feelings. Dorian, how are you? How are things? I heard from someone who will not be named, but your partner. And she said that you have been held up in a room editing for weeks now, and that every time you find one singular blank square, you're like, I have to re-upload this whole fucking thing now, and you just go back into your room at the house. And
that is
for a while.
That is accurate. I'm actually in the living room right now, so I don't look at it uploading. yeah.
But you made a fucking movie, man. That's incredible.
Tonight is your premiere. For the listeners, you can't go, but there's other ones you can go to. this
oh, no, you can go. By all means, go to studio. Oh, yeah, wait.
Oh, won't be out until Monday.
It airs on Monday, yeah.
Well, look, find time travel. Go to the studio.
If you go to the show and say, I'm a time traveler and I heard about this today, fucking you give them
a free
copy.
All means. Yeah. You get a free popcorn. All time travelers get free popcorn. That's the rules.
Good rule.
Can't argue with that.
It's in the Dune bucket, though. So
yeah.
it's give and take. It's like a genie's wish. There's always a catch.
Yeah. You get a free poster from whatever the last Wonder Woman 84. You get a Wonder Woman 84 poster.
Here, you throw this away.
Yeah,
my favorite Mitch Hedberg joke.
It's such a good Mitch Hedberg. Yeah,
that's a great one. No, the next one will be at the Velvet Whip, which is a speakeasy. Which I think we're following Ghosted actually.
Yep, you are immediately after Ghosted ends. Well, why don't you tell us what the movie is and give your pitch, because we haven't done that yet.
Okay, so the one sentence elevator pitch is you're following it's called Porch Pirate, and you're following around a package thief who steals a trap box that contains a human head. And
I like this.
Yeah, I'm in.
I like this also because we've had three packages stolen off my porch because my wife can't quite understand the concept of this isn't suburbia. You can't just order shit and then expect it to be there 30 seconds.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad you said that, George, because yesterday I had to write out a director's statement for Film Freeway. And first of all, I'm terrible at writing anything that's not just me. Hey, 9/11. Like,
yeah,
not just really
your bread and butter.
Yeah, outside of the wheelhouse.
Yeah, anything outside of terrible jokes at me and like 12 other people. Like, yeah,
that's called niche.
Dorian. Yeah, niche. that's how you pronounce that. Okay, yeah.
It's I think I don't know.
I'm real
I went to school
niche-y.
In Connecticut. It's real niche-y. It's real. What was that guy's name? Nietzsche.
Nietzsche.
Nietzsche. Yeah, it's real Nietzsche. Yeah,
I am that Superman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I'm gonna start coming out to that Goldfinger song. Like, is that about Nietzsche?
what if it were? Never mind, keep going.
But what you just said, that's exactly what I wrote. Like, kind of why I wrote this movie is I had so many packages stolen off my porch, and my initial thought was just, I wish every awful thing to happen to whoever this anonymous human being is.
Yeah,
I don't know who they are, but I want every awful. I want not only them to go down, but I want everyone around them to fall. And then, we did Durag and the Deer Tag, and then they put up an article about some some junkie stole from a medical supply shop, and it turns out he actually stole a box of like, I don't know if it was all human cadaver parts or specifically human heads, but it's like it was like a really redneckish kind of heist. So we just took both of those ideas and we said, well, what if the entire movie, the perspective of the like lurker is what we call in the movie, but our would be killer in the movie. We put that in our perspective. So from the distance, we watch this guy every now and again. So the lurker's us. Like, it's us kind of exacting every awful thing. And the questions you're kind of meant to ask yourself, I don't know if I did it right, but what I meant is that, what if your feelings at the moment you get stolen from come true? Because, I mean, you get to feel very vulnerable there. But how far do those feelings go? Who would they affect around them? And do those people deserve to get got?
I mean, yes.
I like that.
I'm just going to answer it all right away. Yes. They all deserve it. Pass it down the line as far as it needs to
My
go.
Wife wants her $90 protein powder back. Yes, they deserve it all.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, no. But you know what I mean? That's this is actually why we introduce a character like Ellie Summerling in the movie who
what a sweetheart.
Is just the nicest human being. The main character is Drew Montana, and then Ellie plays his sister, who is just
which I can see. I could see them as siblings very much.
Yeah. Oh, on set they were butting heads like they are in the movie for the most part. It was insane. But I mean, in the best way possible. Drew's very laid back in his approach to things, and Ellie's like right there. She's, you know, theatrical person, so she's like,
yeah, she's an actor.
Oh yeah, and she can almost like, dude. Everybody in the movie did a great job acting, but yeah. As far as the director's statement go, yeah, I took that idea, and it's like, well, what if this really, like, ended up affecting somebody who is someone like an Ellie Summerlin character, and, you know, which is, I pretty much wrote the character for her. Yeah, then, like, does it feel like it went too far, like, for our stuff? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And at that, anyway, I'm getting too much into it as far as the
go see it, everybody.
Stuff. Yeah,
I would love, I can't wait to see this thing. It looks like it's such a cool idea. It's so cool to see people that, you know, you've come up with and you've been in the ditches with of third half Raven and to do something cool and creative and very much them is really incredible. And I'm not your dad, but I'm very proud of you.
just give me a tussle.
Oh shucks. Well, we do a lightning round here just to kind of get the feelings flowing, the flow feelings, if you will. So Dan, are you ready to go through these? Because I write them down so we don't forget them, but I don't remember what they are. I just look at all this shit. I have so much shit.
One day.
I have these. What are these? Why do I have this?
I wish I could tell you.
I can tell you why. My mom got them for me. Because she got us a tent for my birthday and was like, go camping and then have a picnic and bring ants to your picnic. And then we just hid them around the woods. Yeah. So now I have these. And I can't throw them away because my mom gave them to me. What's the first emotion, Dan?
Put them in a box on a porch. Let someone else have them.
There you go.
Dorian, what makes you feel anger?
Oh, that's an easy one. I just, you know, it's weird. It's, I get irritated very easily as a person. I don't know if it's just from being short, but I get stupid questions definitely get me really like riled up. I don't know if it's actually funny. I don't know if this is weird intuition, but there's a guy locally. I think he's a newer comic or whatever. I won't name him.
Oh, names. This is the Patreon show, Dan. There's right. Feel That's Feelings, the and then Patreon is name names, where we just roast these people.
I got my
tea
ready for the page, dude. No, but I like, okay. Actually, no, to make it more specific, I hate, I don't know if this is the best way to say it, but I hate like phony support.
Sure.
Oh, well, then and, we should probably end this.
No. One of the things that happened, even with the last couple projects we worked on, was people being like, hey, I saw, like, one guy actually just came up to me recently and go, hey, I saw you posted something on Instagram, and you were posting a lot. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, it was about the movie. And he's like, yeah, what was it about? And it's like, it's just one of those things that immediately put me in that position of like, I want to tell him just go fucking look at it, but you don't want to be rude because I only just walk in this place.
Yeah, right.
I do love that stuff of like, can you just skip all the steps for me?
It's one of the, I think that's one of the main things.
We'll come back to this. Becomes, sorry, I have to cut you off. We'll definitely come back to this. What makes you feel sadness?
Sadness.
Oh, that's a bit of a tougher one. Sadness, definitely just when things don't go my way. This last couple weeks of having to constantly recut my movie made me very sad. When you think you're done and you have more to do is...
I was telling Rachel at the Shine that like, you know, sometimes like when you do a song, like when I do a little audio bit and like I find out like 15 minutes after I bounced it that, oh, there's like a pop. Or like, oh, there's a thing. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, you just have to be like, no, just give it to the world. I can't keep doing this. I've been here for 3 days. Just
you go with God moment. Yeah, yep. It's done. Whatever it is.
All right.
It's
what
done.
About what makes you a surprise?
Honestly, I hate to say it. Maybe it's just because like I said, I am kind of a niche guy, especially in comedy. Honestly, especially when I do guy. get Yeah, I'm such a Nietzsche guy. when I do get like a good amount of kudos and real support, I get like, oh, whoa, yeah. this is cool. It's overwhelming a little bit.
Oh yeah,
but yeah.
Oh, for me?
I mean, I remember. Like
I'll talk
about my version of like that connected to surprise when we get to it, because yeah, I've seen that happen, and it's honestly something that comes up on the show a lot when we ask that question. A lot of times it's like when people do things for me and like when people support me, it seems like everybody we talk to always has that hold up where they're just like, I am surprised that people are so giving when they can be.
It's a mix of low self-esteem and, you know, being a little brother, and sure. Like
you kind of
have to fight for. You fight for attention, and then you hope you get positive, mm-hmm. Reaction.
Yeah, but you can't be like, oh no, it's I'm not doing this for attention. But...
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anybody means to be too cool for the room. You just have to be like, but it's kind of a defense mechanism to be too cool to care.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What makes you feel joy?
Oh man, when things go my way, dude. I'll tell you when I felt the biggest joy was not only like working on this project, I kind of knew all the steps, but when every time we got exactly what we wanted on set, even if we like, that's one of the best feelings in the world, is when the thing just works.
Doing that web series with Nelms, you could watch it light up when like what he saw came to life, and he was like,
oh yeah,
I picked the right people, because a lot of them were non-comics, but he knew that they would be funny. So like there's like a group of twins that he's just known since he was a kid that when both of them came in to do a fake podcast about soccer, he was like, I don't know if it's gonna work, man. They don't know how to like punchline how to do this stuff, and they fucking killed it. They were so good.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, it fucking works.
I'm a genius.
And I've shot sketches with Nelms. He is dedicated too. That's the big thing, is when you put in enough dedication and you see the work coming back and it feels correct. If you put a camera on. Right.
He did the, what was it, you did the Chinese finger trap sketch?
Yeah. Well, the fucked up thing is before that we did a really bad failed sketch that we apologized for. Profusely to Alex Yang for.
I remember seeing that
we never put anything like that out, because it was just one of those things that like Lemaire and I were like, we need to do something like tomorrow if we can. Like, let's see what we can do, and let's see if we can write something in 10 minutes, and then if we just shoot it as soon as possible. We did, and it turned out, oh no, that's awful. Yeah, we should take time.
You need to, you need to write. You can't just improv. Yeah. Improv a basic instinct. What about disgust? What makes you feel disgust? It can be as deep or as foolish as, like, I think mine was chicken.
You know what? I think I see it more. I do see it more with like I want to say real actors will do this when people don't act like people. I don't know if that makes sense. I guess it's phoniness again, but like, you ever been handed a business card from a comic? Like, don't do that. Especially, we're at an open mic. Just pull out your phone.
That's one of those where like, I don't think I'm who you think I am either right now. Like,
yeah.
I don't. Like, I'm not somebody who will ever want this from you.
Yeah, we're all bombing at the same open mic. Don't hand me a business card. I've slapped a business card out of some dude's hand. I felt like, so bad. I was drunk, and I was like, don't fucking hand me that.
It's one of those two where it's like, yes, I know I have something to offer you if I were to like you.
Yeah. Great.
But also, I love not the time.
I think it was Elena Kloon had business cards, but they just said Elena Kloon on them. They didn't have any other information on them.
I like
and
that.
I was like, this is good. Man. This is good. All right, last one.
Fine, exceptions to rules. Yeah.
Back when Roger and Linda were lucid, I remember he handed me his business card, and then she immediately pulled out a random Uno card and handed that to me. And I was like, that's solid.
That is real solid.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Got it. And last one, what makes you feel fear?
Ooh, last night was nothing but fear and anxiety all night. I barely got any sleep.
Oh, from the...
Usually anytime I'm about to go into a thing, like this. I haven't been nervous like this in a very long time. All night I'm like, just everything's gonna fucking go wrong. Usually every day before shooting is just nothing but fear and anxiety and panic. Mm-hmm. And probably up till the day of, I will feel physically ill, even watching my own thing. Like, up until like somebody goes, "Oh wow, you did a good job," then it's like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, I had nothing to worry about."
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and I think let's start with there because it's a very visceral emotion. It's what we've talked about a little bit, where it's like you kind of have to just give it to the world. Like, you've spent so much time with it and you're obsessing over a pop, or you're obsessing over one frame that no one else is going to notice. You have to constantly remind yourself that no one takes in your art more critically than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but when you, like, before that moment, the lead up to the proverbial stage. And it's vulnerable because it's something that's not just like an observational thing or so. Like, there's a director's message to the film. There's people that have put their work into it. And then what if you've watched it so many times that you didn't realize that Drew is not a good actor? Like, like, all of a sudden you realize, like, oh, wait, no. It's a terrifying experience to put your art out into the world, but it's incredibly fulfilling, good or bad.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like. That's the it's funny, I think a couple weeks before we started shooting, I watched I'll watch a certain number of filmmaking movies beforehand. One that just added to the list was My Name is Dolomite with
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah.
Is as far And I think that's Eddie Murphy's second movie about just making a movie, because was it Bowfinger's on that list?
Bowfinger. No. Bowfinger was a movie that you watch at 12 a.m. on Comedy Central, heavily edited, and you're like, I don't understand what this movie's about.
Oh,
at,
yeah,
like, 15, and then you watch it at 30, you're like, this is pretty.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's, Steve Martin's character in the movie is, like, his character in that, Dolomite in that, and then, I don't know if you've seen Living in Oblivion with Steve Buscemi. It's I think it's all on YouTube now, or whoever put it up in clips. Like, all of those movies, just
I'll see it in increments on TikTok next week.
Yeah,
that's how I watch movies now. It's 5-minute increments on TikTok.
It's funny. I'm actually surprised that movie hasn't been memed. It's that good, especially. So Steve Buscemi plays this this director, and the first scene is just everything going wrong. Like, the actor isn't hitting her marks. A watch keeps going off on set. What is it? Someone was they drank bad coffee because the milk spoiled. So the cameraman's in the in the bathroom just vomiting. As soon as he leaves and no one's on camera, it's not even on. They're rehearsing, and then finally the actor gets the words and everything right. And it's just like, it just cuts, like, the last thing is just, it cuts to him just screaming. And then he wakes up. It turns out it was a dream. And it's like, yo, I've had that fucking dream.
Yeah.
I've had that exact dream. And it's usually the day before I go on set.
Yeah.
And it's
to go to is, Ed Wood is a great one for that, where it's
Ed
just
Wood's
like
another good one, yeah.
Every possible thing can go wrong, but it's just like high spirits the whole time of like, well, we are making a movie. That's pretty cool though, right?
Yeah. The blissful ignorance to just, I'm doing my dream, Ed. You shouldn't. Like,
yeah.
Ed, just be friends with Bela Lugosi. You don't need to get him in your movie. What's the other movie? Eric Idle, it was like so bad. That, like, it's like about bad movies, and then the movie came out terrible.
On the Python front, there's the Terry Gilliam Don Quixote documentary about him trying to make that movie, where
not that one. There's
like God is against him, basically, when you watch that documentary.
No, there's one where it's what is it? It's what directors use if they didn't want to put their name on a bad movie after it was
Alan
deleted.
Smithy.
Oh man.
Alan Smithy, like the Alan Smithy movie, where it's just everything.
Forgot
is
about that
wrong.
One.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I've seen that.
Yeah, I don't think I know that one.
If I have seen it, I haven't seen it recently. It's a.
My stepdad was a big Python guy. Well, my mom was a big Python guy, and carried over for my stepdad and everything. So, like, we would watch was like Eric the Great and like all these like after Python starring Python people movies where it's like
Brazil,
we're still
Fish Called Wanda and all that.
Like we're still friends with like Terry and Eric are still friends with each other, but John can't come and like these people shouldn't be allowed. Palin's doing a travel documentary, so he can't do the movie. Like those fun, weird Python movies.
I'll tell you, when I was shooting sketches with Jay Lemire and Lemire, and we kept Bunny Head. That's for some reason I somehow found that clip where that's all they talked about in one documentary of like, oh yeah, no, we hated each other on set or when because they're all like these collegiate, you know, Cambridge, Oxford guys. So they're all just turning every. Well, this sketch should go like this. No, it should go like this. It turns into this debate on the, and it's like, shoot the fucking thing.
It's
like,
so do funny. The thing.
Yeah, it's so funny to think like there's that version of it where it's like this collegiate English version of it where they'll continually work together.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But then you have people like Chevy Chase where just entirely Hollywood's like, no.
Yeah.
We can't do this anymore, Chevy.
It's so funny. Everything I see about Chevy Chase is literally just him being like
an ass.
Just the worst person on just set. And it's
a fucking nightmare of a human being.
And like intentionally too, going out of his way to like add misery to other people's
this
lives.
Is who
like,
I want to be.
Why would that be a thing?
No.
Because sometimes mean is funny. I don't.
I mean, I agree with that for sure.
Maybe I'm not equipped to talk about this, but the Ron Dickles. Of comedy.
So I know everyone hates him, and I think because I moved out here and I found out about him, and I think the only thing I remember was he put up a post of like I forget what politician and like Aaron Dahoney, and he was just like this bitch looks like him, and it's
oh my god.
He doesn't, but I remember like they were at a tire and it was just like you know, this is an adult. You're adults. You don't have to.
Yeah. You can disengage from anything you don't want to be part of.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, that guy still like just like will literally pull up in front of Helium with a mic and a PA in his car and just start telling his jokes, just blocking traffic.
Yeah. I've heard stories of him either in his bike or on his bike or in his car with the speaker coming out the top.
Yeah.
Just like. Alex this Jones giant, style in whatever that movie was. I forget what
movie
it was.
This giant man in a Volkswagen bug.
Yeah.
That's a convertible. Like, it's like he's a weird, what a weird man. Why?
Before
why?
I say we move to joy purely because I have a good segue for it, but like, there's nothing that brings me more joy in a not a vindictive way, but like, I love the antics of people that have been wronged by comedy.
It's entertaining for sure.
It's fun.
It's very entertaining.
It's just like, because then you remind them you're an adult.
Yeah, you're a grown up.
It's funny too because like everybody who's ever done comedy has been wronged by comedy in some way.
Yeah.
Yes,
and most people are fine with it. They recognize that it's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you internalize to some degree, and then other times you just let it roll off your back. Like,
yeah.
I think it's actually funny because I've kind of buried the hatchet a little bit with Akash Patel of all people.
Okay. Oh wow, I didn't know that was possible. I thought he just he's the one who just keeps pulling it out to be like, hey, I still have a hatchet. So, you want me to wave it?
Cartoon character that just reaches behind his back and there's another hatchet.
Yeah,
Akash, no, give me the hatchet. Give me the hatchet. Okay.
Well, I don't know the whole thing, but I know he went through some serious stuff, same like I did. So it was like, and then one day he just came up to me. This was like post pandemic. You know, nobody had the energy to care about old beefs. So he just came up to me. We talked. He actually gave me a very heartfelt apology, and I was like, well, I can't stay mad at a guy like this right now.
I think the pandemic helped a lot of people grow. Yeah.
Getting into a stable relationship myself, kind of.
Yeah, it's just it helps people grow, and it helps people like understand that, like, to me it was always, I love comedy, I love doing it, I don't want to do it so I can be at Helium, or like, I don't want to do it so I can go on a tour. I want to do it because I like it. And some people get caught up.
Those
in
were
the
days.
Yeah, and like it gets caught up in like the
guys. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah, we're hustling. It was like you don't have to hustle if you want to work on it. That's you. It's your discipline. But
well, that was
like,
the thing that annoyed. It's funny you mentioned that. That was the thing that annoyed me. I remember when Cave was still around, and they bring in like a lot of these comics from New York on like their showcase nights, and. Yeah, it was a weird, I remember every now and again, it would be like that same kind of weird thing of like, oh, how many followers do you have? Oh, not as many as me. And then they just literally turn their face away. And it was like, we're still human beings. Like you can just be like, and like, I would never treat anyone like that, having been on the road toiling through stand-up. But I mean, if you're just leaving and you're going back home tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Somehow, I guess if you're in that kind of place, you just develop that type of thing. It's very, it's an odd behavior.
Yeah, I always took it from touring in a different facet with like music. It was everyone there doesn't have to be there.
Yeah.
Like everyone there in no way is entitled and or required to be there.
Yeah.
The fact that they chose to is astounding. Like, me and Casey, we went to this place on Passyunk, and then across the street is that typewriter place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They were doing a show.
Yeah, it's a cool spot for a show.
It's a cool, like, people were just playing, like, cool little indie rock music, and there's people outside smoking. We were both like, oh, my God, this is, like, just like what we would do, like, you know, 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, back when we had energy.
Yeah, and then we stopped, and we, like, watched by the window and stuff. But, like, the fact that many people crammed into a typewriter repair facility in a gentrified area of Philadelphia and like just experienced something.
Yeah. Meg had a show there not that long ago.
They could have.
Yeah. Who books this place?
Who books typewriter? They say they got a good crowd. But like they could have just stayed home and rewatched The Crown. Like they could have done it.
Especially
anything.
Now. Catch up on the clues. Find out what Kate is.
Where is she?
Dude, I am so deep in that rabbit hole, we're not going to talk about it.
It's a different show.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's... Oh, I do want to mention a story about support that involves Dorian. I have very fond memories of working a showcase on Saturdays called Snappy Pun when I first started out. And
I remember Snappy Pun.
The hardest
shout out,
I watched Dorian kill was a woman in the front row. I forget who was going up after you. But the woman in the crowd was like an older black woman, and she just straight up went like, go ahead, baby. And you watched your face light up. You were like, I feel supported. I feel warm. I feel good. And then proceeded to just destroy the crowd with laughter. It was amazing to see in that room.
I still have that video. It's so funny you bring that up because I immediately. You know what it was? That was a weird, like, watching stars align kind of thing, because maybe a week or two before, I was, I don't know if I was drinking at the time, but I was definitely hanging out super late. It was me, LaMare, Nate Jones, of all people.
Right. I love that it's of all people.
Well, he had the car, so
he was from the burbs. He had to drive to get there.
Oh, yeah, and I think it was, like, Matt Byrne and Kevin O'Fee.
Okay.
And probably somebody else, probably King Cobb or somebody, but we're all just sitting in we're all at Melrose Diner when that was, I don't even know if it's open anymore.
It's not even standing. Yeah.
It's downstairs. That was where me and my wife had our first date. And so when they demolished it, I snuck behind the gate and picked up a piece of rock and framed it for our anniversary. And then she was
this
is a rock. And then I explained the story. And I was like, it's beautiful, but you need to explain that before you give me a rock in a box.
Yeah. You explain it. You're like, I guess it's kind of dumb. You look up and she just has tears. And like,
she was like, oh, no, that's really, really good. But like, don't frame piece of cinder block and give it to me. Yeah. It's a weird bit and I don't like it.
Dude, they sell pieces of rock in East Berlin. Just like, oh, it's a part of the wall. It's like,
there's no proof.
There's absolutely no proof.
You found this rock.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're at Melrose, and
so we were talking about just like random shit that we were like, I don't even remember what we talked about, but I said go ahead baby at some point, and they're like, what? And then it was Malachi, that was the other one who was there, because he was encouraging me too there. But and I started explaining to him, like, about this this time it when I was like 6 years old, we went to see the, you know, the fireworks at the park for 4th of July, and this lady was yelling out, like, she was encouraging the fireworks, like, go ahead, baby. Oh. Just going like, go ahead, 4th of July. And it's a real thing.
Everybody was cracking up. That made me so happy right now.
I was like holding court with that. And then like a week later, and everyone's like, dude, that should be a bit. And then like a week later, it just happens at a show, and it was just like, ooh.
It does work.
And it became a bit. That was my closer for like a good 2 years. That's still great in the act.
Yeah. It's a fun bit. And it's fun to watch it do what, like, it's fun to watch people do what they're supposed to. It's fun to watch you know, jokes work out. It's fun to watch people make movies when they've worked really hard to do them. It's fun fucking do a podcast about feelings, which reminds me. Let's spin our wheel and see what emotion we're talking about today for the remainder of the show.
And we got thoughtful.
Ooh. All right, we'll be right back after we get sued by Aerosmith to talk about thoughtful.
Hey everybody, Danny here with plugs. You can check out Dorian's movie. It'll be playing two more times coming up on the 28th of March at the Velvet Whip after this month's edition of Ghosted. It'll be playing right there. You can also see it at Zembo on April 13th. If you want to find out more about it and watch the trailer, check out the poster, get your Eventbrite links, you can find all that at babygoblinproductions.com/porch-pirate. As for me, I have Ghosted also at the Velvet Whip on the 28th. An amazing lineup. So excited to see what everybody writes for each other. George and I are at Feel Feelings Pod on all the places. You can like, share, rate, review. Just reach out, let us know you're listening. We always appreciate it. That is it for the week. Back to the show.
All right, we are back. We just did a brief name names and talk.
Yeah, all
shit.
Names have been named.
Dorian, what makes you feel thoughtful?
Thoughtful. See, it's kind of a vague one, but like, my immediately thought is whenever I make food for people.
Yeah,
that's usually
a great
go-to.
Yeah,
and that's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that big advocating for Godzilla Minus One post you made the other day that I was like, hell yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah, I have the poster in the other room, right? I'm wearing a Shin Godzilla shirt. I have to see this.
I have not seen it yet. Dan came, George. Like, we did an episode before and after Dan went to go see
twice.
And just both times he's been like, George, you have to go. It's about grief.
This is my only Godzilla memorabilia, and it's a Hedorah toy.
Oh, do you want me to pull out the memorabilia? I got a whole closet. I haven't built the shelves yet, but I have a whole closet filled with all the toys that Rachel and all of my friends have gotten me.
Nice.
I'm not allowed to buy any more toys.
Casey, that was my Valentine's Day present this year.
Yeah, I think I'm about to be on that boat. Like,
yeah, like she let me keep this, but only in the office. And then I have the bathroom downstairs. We have a classic South Philly piss closet where it's just the toilet.
And she was like,
you can put all your weird shit in the bathroom and everything else. I need approval before you put it on the wall. And I'm like,
we basically
where's
have
Crypt Keeper supposed to go?
Yeah. Oh my God.
In the basement, George. Clearly. We have a no new furniture policy that I can add whatever I want as long as it doesn't require a new piece of furniture to be out and displayed.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's
one in, one out is a good rule.
I think I'm approaching that soon. Luckily I clean and fix most things. So I'm like,
nice.
I'm in the clear as long as I can upkeep it all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. Because we had people come over, help us. Like, they were excited that we were now back in town, but they were also like, it was like, we'll help you move.
Yeah. I didn't even know you were in town, dude. I would have,
it happened within 3 weeks, Dorian. It's crazy fucking stories.
I would have brought you a plate of food.
It would have been so thoughtful.
I cook
a lot, and
what's your meal? If you're making me a dish, what are you making me?
Thoughtful. Usually I'll ask what do you like, and then I'll come up with something like, so we play D&D every other week, and
hell yeah,
I usually give people like two options. So like one week it was like, okay, do you guys want to do big kahuna burgers, or do you want to just do regular or do you want to do tacos? And everyone, oh, we totally want burgers. So I was just, you know, Bob Belcher on the grill at that point. Frying up patties.
Do you work that into the campaign? Because that'd be fun. Just like halfway through the campaign, you're like, and then you enter a tavern and just Bob Belcher's there.
They only have big kahuna burgers available.
Yeah. And everyone cheers and lifts up their burger.
I'd be the one burning the house down.
Yeah. food, cooking food for someone. I mean, we mentioned him briefly. He's a great guy. He was in my wedding party. But Alex Yang is the kind of person where it's like, no, if you're at my house, I'm making you food. There's some sort of fucking fried egg on it. Like, it's not just he made you a sandwich that's like cold cuts on bread.
It gets culinary.
He gets fancy. Ooh,
yeah. Wait. Casey's this last in. One we ended up
sorry what's she
now
want?
this last one we did baked macaroni, potato salad, and nice. Southern fried chicken.
Nice.
Ooh.
So I changed it up a little bit because
how do I get in on this campaign?
Oh, by all means, you're invited. Just come through. Half the times we'll just kind of stop the campaign and then everybody will just drink their drinks or do their edibles or whatever, and
hell
we'll
yeah
just sit here and watch old Cartoon Network cartoons.
Oh,
that last time we were just watching Grim Adventures for.
Oh, like no way. I was just watching that the other day, too.
Right.
Oh, it's such a good show.
It's one of those where I'm like, this show is hilarious, but I don't know if I could look at it anymore.
Yeah, it's one that I remember it being in the background a lot because, my brother's kids and stuff, which is probably probably what helped facilitate that is almost everybody is younger than me now. I used to cook for my niece and nephew all the time when I was a kid. My dad used to cook for everybody. Anytime my brothers, my older brothers, and when they were in high school and their friends came over, my dad did the same thing for us when I had my friends over. Hey guys, what's going on? Hold on, let me get you guys some food. He will go out and buy like a thing, make a whole pot of chili or make like just food.
Yeah,
for everybody.
That's amazing. Yeah,
it's something that like it's a art that's being lost. Not just cooking, but like the cooking for others. The giving to people of this thing that we need to survive, but also like you put heart into it.
One of the first times I ever got like wasted, and I crashed at the house. My buddy ended up crashing with us. I thought my dad was gonna yell at me, and he was like, all right, hold on. I'll make something for you for your hangover. I was just like,
yeah.
It was like at that point I was in college, but it was like, oh, I feel like I'm disappointing my father. And no, he was just like, all right, no.
Yeah, couldn't be more on board. Yeah.
Yeah, because there's that, but there's also the level of like, oh, I get to cook for him. Like, I feel like something like that, and this is complete conjecture, but like, it's something.
You get remembered for it.
You get remembered for it, but it's also something that like you wish someone had done for you in that moment. Like the first time I was ever super hungover in front of my parents, like they're Irish Catholic. They just fucking guilted the shit out of me. They were like, you can't walk. What's wrong with you? Going to hell. But instead, when my kid, which is in no plans, it's not happening. Don't worry about it. fucking please no. IUDs. Like when my kid comes home, I would love to cook them like a full breakfast and then have a conversation about how bad Jameson is and don't do that again. Like there's a
you're gonna make bad choices, make better bad choices.
Yeah, exactly.
there's I think it was like one of the was it like the fifth season of Louie. What is it? He catches his daughter smoking weed. And then it's like him going through his entire childhood of things he did. And then it just cuts to him. He's just like feeding her burgers.
Yeah.
It like one scene. And she's like, am I in trouble? And he's like, no. And then it's like, it cuts away as they're about to have, the talk.
Yeah.
It was a very, yeah.
It's but
it's
yeah,
a very artful show.
It is. I but yeah, no, food is a very it is a really good equalizer in the room. Oh, like, sure. Everyone has to eat. Everyone gets hungry, and it's like, if you can provide that, you're about to make everybody, one, you make people calm down when they're irritated. Two, like, you know.
Yeah. What's the
everyone leaves feeling better.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the
unless the food is bad, unless you're a terrible cook.
Well, that was my question. What's the greatest thing you've ever eaten? What's the of food of thoughtful? Like, you can try to combine them, but if it's just like, this is the best thing I've ever eaten, what's the best thing you've ever eaten?
Best thing I've ever eaten? Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm gonna still say it's probably something my dad made. Because we make a lot of like, I haven't had, there's certain Belizean meals I haven't had since my dad died.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
And there's a cookbook somewhere, I like it with my brother, you know, in Ohio. And it's like, man, I don't know if I'll ever have that again, but I can smell it. I can taste it.
Yeah.
When I think about it, it's like, I can make it, but it's like, no one else will eat it. But this is, no one knows how great this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just for me.
Unless, I have that with like family. My grandma's cooking, where like my grandma would make like chocolate chip pancakes when we have like cousin sleepovers and stuff. And like, to this day, she's getting to a point where she can't do that anymore. Like, we sold her house that we all went to recently. And so like, there's that thing where like, it's done now.
My mom lives in Belize, and one of her neighbors is like this little Mayan lady. She actually makes a lot of the spices we use from scratch.
Mm.
And I guess they've been doing that for years. So every time my mom comes back, she just brings this big bag of the spice for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Like, I don't know how the hell you got that through customs, but I no questions. They're in my fridge right now. And then like, I bought a big ass piece of red snapper. I'm going to make that for myself.
Nice. Probably that's Sunday. Awesome. That's great.
Yeah. Dan, what about you? Greatest thing you've ever eaten?
Greatest time
you've eaten?
It's definitely a similar thing. We're like, my mom's made a point of like saving recipes, made a cookbook out of like kind of handwritten recipes and all that kind of stuff. But like, you go to make them and it doesn't taste anything like you remember it tasting. Like, you could do it perfect. And it was definitely like the way my grandfather would cook. He was an army chef. So
no matter what, he was cooking for 100 people.
Yeah, it was just, you know, here's the ingredients that this needs to be called whatever it is. And then here's whatever it is to make it hearty and more filling and whatever. And no one knows what that stuff was. It was just random stuff every time. It was like, this needs to be more. So he would add more. Sorry, my cat is freaking out behind me.
Yeah,
just,
no, it's all going good. On there.
Mine is
just spinning
at
circles
somewhere.
At the top of my chair. And I'm trying to
talk through it.
How
can cats even do that?
It is so hard to talk past whatever is happening behind me.
Oh, man.
Anyway, my grandfather would just kind of throw this in and throw this in and throw this in. So, like, it would resemble the meal it was supposed to be, but it would be so specifically him.
Yeah.
They're like, I can't recreate that. I have no idea. And, like, I'm sure there was something intentional to what he was doing, but it seemed very random to watch it. And like that, so like I can't connect those dots again. But those were the best meals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so funny. I do encapsulate a lot of my dad's behavior in that respect too, because my dad knew everything he cooked was good, and we would get real irritated because he'd almost stand and be like, "How like how is it? Did you like it?" And it's like, yes.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. You don't have to keep asking.
You're
good at this, Dad.
We know how good you are at this. But I do the same thing, and I think Pete and Jabri of all people had to pull me aside and be like, dude, it's good. Just fucking just let it
please.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I saw Jabri at 7 o'clock in the morning the other day, and it made my day.
Yeah, doesn't it?
It was he was across the street, and I was just like, Jabri. And like, it was just looked up, smiled, and like acknowledged me. I was like, this rules. 7 o'clock in the fucking morning, and you're still this nice.
Jabri Lee is one of those people that no matter what mood you're in, seeing him makes your day better. He's that guy.
For sure. All right. Why don't we see what the people said? I know, Dan. I mean, we just found out this emotion, but you seem to be going hard on trying to get people to answer this goddamn question.
Yeah, it was one of those where like it felt like an easy one. Yeah. It felt like, you know, what makes you feel thoughtful? It could be a positive, it could be a negative. Literally the door is open for anything. It's and we ended up getting a few.
Wow, that's kind of vague.
Yeah.
It's always funny. The ones that we think will be super easy, people get really into. And the ones that we're like, no one knows what the fuck this is. They're like, oh, actually, this one time, I felt super aloof then. And I'm like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, you find some weird answers on things.
Oh, it's great.
And those are the ones, too, where like the emotions where you're not immediately aware of the emotion in the present. It's something you have to think about after. We get great responses on those. It's like, okay, there's a sweet spot. I get it. But anyway. Let's see what the people think. Okay. We did get kind of the full range of possibilities represented here. The first one, being overwhelmed. Once I recognize that, feeling it forces me to slow down, be thoughtful on why I feel that way, and also priorities. I kept trying to read that sentence in a way that, you know, makes sense as a sentence, but I know what it means, but the words didn't really come out clean.
That's fair. That's good. You know, they try.
But yeah, when you're overwhelmed and you're forced to think about like why you're thinking that way, then all of a sudden everything else comes into some sort of perspective through that.
Sounds as if they're full of thoughts.
Yes. Thoughtful, if you will.
Is that what that means?
Something like that. But the
comedy.
The second time it was posted got a significantly better response because I yelled at people to answer the question.
We love the people that listen to the show, but it's not an interrogation. You can't lock them in a room.
Yeah, you just like slam it on the table.
Participate!
Yeah, I learned that lesson hard in comedy where like, no one's paying attention to me at Jose Pistola's. I'm going to yell at the crowd while doing jokes. No one wants that. No one wants you yelling at them.
That'll get them to leave.
It helped the other comedians be like, that guy was fucking mad at you. You're like, you're fine. We're friends now. And then they did significantly better. I grease the wheels, but
you saved the room. You saved the room.
Now, sometimes you do got to sacrifice your you do got to bomb to make the room better. It's
you got to bomb so people go like, wow,
dude, I think
that was fucking crazy, right?
Yeah,
that almost became like the instead of people going, dude, you had a great set, was like, damn, man, you really woke, you opened them up. Like,
yeah.
And it's like,
thank you.
I don't know if that's
thank you for
thing.
Opening them up to experience.
Yeah, now, like, I'm a plumber. I just think.
What else we got?
Hand making cards for people.
That is nice. I will say, I have gotten a few cards just from like family members congratulating on the house. We got a card from the original owner of the home. Because they were like the original seller of it,
like the last owner, or like the very
the woman had bought the house in 1986, and then like up until I think 2010 or something, like lived in it and then rented it. But
and she wants to be in touch just so in case any ghost stuff comes up, she can answer all your questions.
Am I supposed to be like, oh, what's up with the poltergeist activity in this house that you sold us really cheap?
Hey, Susie, is this why you sold?
Yeah. But like, it was lovely to get that. She like explained, like, I bought this house by myself in the 80s and it like, I hope you love it as much as I did. Also, can I get my mail? Because some of it's probably going to go there. But like, it was lovely to get a card like that. And then I got one from my aunt where it was just like the Hallmark moments. When you turn 30, you don't realize like, wow, this is very nice.
for Meg's album recording, for Meg Getz's album recording, I she didn't know it was me because I got hired like secondhand to do video.
And
it's funny, like, she gave me a very lovely card and it had very nice things to say, but she didn't know it was specifically for me. And I remember her being like, oh my god, I would have just made it personal. But it was like the gesture was already nice, and then like just what she wrote inside was very it was thoughtful. It was a very nice thing.
literally cards. Everybody got one that day, and I think more effort went into like making sure those were like sincere, heartfelt cards, even for like for you, who was you know, just a guy. Like, it was not Dorian is coming, it was a guy is coming to do this job.
Yeah,
it was still like, how do I make this something special?
So,
and like, so many people like got that card and was like, no, you did a thing for me. Like, you put on a show for me. I didn't do a thing for you. Like,
I thought of that specifically when I was making wrap gifts for the main cast, which was Ellie, Drew, and Jeff Colella.
Mm-hmm.
Because for weeks I was like, oh my god, I gotta get all these like things, these signature things. So like everyone got a hat like this, which is basically the baby Goblin. I love those
hats. I've seen you with that hat a couple times. Yeah.
And then we got Porch Pirate stitched into the side, specific, like, and you know, we got that. I got like very specific posters that are, you know, reversible. There's a red and a blue side. And then I went and bought everybody's favorite wine or liquor, and then I gave them all a card.
Nice.
You know, and that's with a
nice
the
little wrap thing.
Yeah, with the Visa gift. You know, I tried really hard because I'm like, wow, these people just worked their asses off.
Yeah, like, you know, even if you're paying them, they're essentially donating your time, because at this level, you really can't pay what anyone is like deserving of.
It
so, like,
harkens back to that thing. It's like, listen, no one has to be here, but they are choosing to be here, and that is a huge compliment to art and process and whatever. Like, it's so important to find the people that are willing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's
a lot of people are willing. It's whether or not they have the time to, and when people sacrifice their own time to do it, like it's a huge deal.
That actually goes into another one of the answers here, is that when I notice someone struggling and actually have time to offer help,
mm-hmm.
and like that second part, because like so often you'll see somebody and be like, I am capable of helping them.
Yeah.
I just can't. So, like, when you're actually able to, and like it all comes together, it feels great.
Yeah.
It really does.
We have sincere, specific praise.
Sure. And I feel like any comedian that receives that
sincerity is one of the, like, that's better than, you know, a diamond or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's like,
it's so easy to fake.
Yeah, dude, I mean,
I just had somebody fake it yesterday with me. It's so funny. This is actually
they were really
guy.
Good at it.
It's actually another filmmaker. I've never actually met the guy in person, but I know he worked with the actors I worked with.
Yeah,
and then he almost every one of his messages he sends to me is very like, I say full of shit, but I don't mean that. But it's very. Hello, how are you? And this amazing project you're working. Like, I can hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can hear the fakeness.
Very presentational.
Yeah. And it's like,
what do you want?
And it's like, you unfriended me after you friended me on things. Like, I had to friend you back because I actually had questions, like legit questions for you.
Jeez, and I always that's respond. Awesome.
And I always respond to him like a bro. I'm just like, yeah, dude. All right, whatever.
It's all you can do sometimes.
But yeah, and then it's like, I could feel that. And then I think yesterday he started asking me like, oh, how did you land this place? Like, who do I? And it's like, oh, you want something.
It's always a question.
Oh, you
it's
want all of my sets? Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't trust knife people, guys. They want something.
Yeah, like I think about like sincere, like the specific part of the praise. Like, anytime somebody's like good set, I'm like, you don't think that. But if the compliment is on one line of one joke, then I'm like, oh shit,
you were listening.
Like, I don't care if even the rest of it was terrible. Like, that means a whole lot more to me.
Yeah.
Well, Dorian, you know from like musician world, like good set just means you're about to ask to borrow my amp. Like, it's never
pretty much.
It's never like, oh, I love that song that you did. It's always just like, so our drummer forgot his whole drum set. Can we use your set?
Oh, dude, it's funny because Rachel gave me shit for that a while ago, because we went to a mic and, you know, like three people were like, hey, good set. I'm like, none of you were listening to my fucking set.
Yeah. No, you were on your phone.
Yeah.
You were on your phone and people were laughing. Like, you knew when to laugh. You weren't laughing at the joke.
Yeah, my, like, my set was the B story in your night. Like, you weren't actually watching this.
Yeah, but that she's like, dude, they're just being nice to you. Just, you don't even have to be, don't be a dick back to, like, even if it's fake.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, it's fucking bullshit. But I'm like, arguing with her in the middle of, you know, in the middle of the open mic. Like, no, if they're gonna fucking say, they better fucking be, like, because I think I did that to somebody. Actually, we're more friends now, but somebody did that back when I tried to have a podcast. They're like, yeah, I saw you have a podcast. I was like, oh yeah, did you listen? They're like, oh no. And I was like, you're a compliment.
Yeah. I mean, going back to all the people responding to this question online, people are always like, I love that you ask those questions. It really gets me thinking about things in a different way.
Yeah. And then I go, you like the show?
Oh, do you like the show? And they're like, what show?
Yeah. You gotta start linking the show underneath. Like, hey, you're like, hey, you want to be on a podcast? Hey, you want your answers right on a podcast? Answer this question.
We don't tell them your name unless you've pissed us off enough.
Yeah. Glenn Tickle.
Yeah.
Glenn Tickle, enemy of the show.
What did Glenn Tickle do?
He just makes puns every time and it pisses me off.
I saw him last week after we recorded and he had the one, I forget what last week's emotion was, but Turbulent.
Yeah.
He made a Turbo Lent joke. And I saw him later that night, and he was like, I'm still laughing at that. I'm so proud of myself.
I want to drown in a puddle.
I think I just saw him. He was on like this nerd show, and
was that the Brauhaus one? I almost went to that. Whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I went because Danny Rydell was in town. I haven't seen her in so long.
She's so supportive. When I moved to Jersey, she was like, here are all the shows in New York. Like, here's like Christy Perry. Oh, yeah. Here's everything. Like, come out, do it. And then I was like, I don't have $60 to take this train from Jersey to do these shows, but thank you so much.
Yeah. Nah, she's like one of my best friends. Like, I think I met her when she did like the class with Chip Chantry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, we've just been friends ever since. And
just a nice person, just a nice supportive person. Speaking of thoughtful, like they don't have to tell you these things, but they do because they're like, yeah, no, because I want to see you out. I want to see you do it.
Anytime she's in town, I change my whole schedule because she's a friend.
Good person.
Nice. So this last one offers, you know, maybe half a dozen options. I'm just going to pull one here that I think we haven't really touched on. Is meeting new people and wondering what they think of me, but not in an insecure way.
I don't know what that's like.
I've had that so rare. Who are you?
Greg.
Oh, yeah, I like Greg.
Yeah, Greg's good.
Like, I've had it, and like, I'm just now at work. Like, I have a job for the first time. Like, I've been there 3 years now, so it still feels weird to talk about it like it's new, but like, it's the first time in this job where I've had actual coworkers, and just this year I've started being included in like the potlucks, and I went to a happy hour on Thursday, and like all of those type of things.
Yeah.
And I've caught myself having this feeling of like, I wonder what these people think of me, but like, I know they like me. So, like, it's not a bad thing. It's just like...
You need more anxiety in your life, Dan.
It's just like, oh, I got plenty.
Need my anxiety. I've never once thought, like, these people, they like me. I wonder what they think. Like, do they think I'm interesting? I've always been like, they all hate me. They all hate me.
Yeah. It is the first time I've had relationships with, like, a group of people where I'm not, like, let me be, like, annoyingly focal point. So that like if you do too much, then you don't really have to do anything. People are just like, there's that guy, and then they don't really pay attention to you. It's a good kind of safety mechanism. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't catch myself doing that, and I also don't catch myself trying to be like, oh well, they like me now, how far can I push it? So I'm not doing any of the like
normal
things I do in these things. So I'm like, oh, these are just like nice people who like me. Like, what is this? Like,
I don't get it.
I don't know what to do.
Explain yourself. I think that's I wish I knew what that was like, Dan. but I'm glad that people
one day people will like you.
One day.
Yeah,
I no, I think felt... I'm swell.
Yeah. I like me.
And that's George, just enough.
Yeah.
George, okay. I don't think I know anyone who has a bad thing to say about you. You're like right
Dorian, you're not trying hard enough.
Yeah. Dan, he's honest with me, which I appreciate. He was pissed at me last week because it took me 45, like an hour and a half to set up the podcast recording.
Yeah,
like,
I just had to sit with your dog. It was miserable.
It was a good dog.
Your dog rules.
You know what? What did kill
I've
me
only
recently?
Ever been I've only ever been irritated at the fact that how much everyone likes you. Why does everybody, dude? There's got to be something like this. I think I met you when I was like 28, so I was just like,
I'm pure evil.
He's perfectly nice and really friendly. Why does everyone like him?
which is you know, jealousy on my end. I was like, oh, he's fucking. I always nice to everyone. Like,
yeah, no, you know what? You know what destroyed me? You know, this destroyed me, and I had to like people had to talk me down from it. Was we did Wheel at Brewhouse Schmidt a couple weeks ago, and Liam Paris landed on roast, and I'm not like in the scene that much anymore. I'm happy to be back, and I'm excited to go out and do things, but like it has been a minute where I like the thing I do every 3 to 4 months is host Wheel in Philadelphia. That is my time in Philadelphia to do comedy. And Liam landed on roast, and they're walking around the room roasting everyone in the room, just going around pointing out someone's flaw and going, and it got to me and goes, George, you do pop punk or something. I don't remember. And then he just walked away, and I was like, oh, fuck, I'm so forgettable.
Right to the core.
No. And I'm like, it's just me, Deary, and Goran sitting there eating food afterwards. I'm like, that fucking cut deep. But he's like, just shut up. You're fine.
I do hate pop punk or whatever.
Oh, man, I got to do better. But I think this show couldn't have been any better at all. Dorian, thank you so much for coming on and doing this. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for
on
having
the
me,
movie.
Everyone go to Velvet Whip on Thursday.
Velvet Whip, it's the premiere. If you have time beforehand, go to Ghosted. It's a great show. It's a great movie. It's a great time. Velvet Whip, never been. Cool name. Sounds like a sexy, sexy time.
You live here now. Come on Thursday.
Yeah. Amazing. Now you got it. We just talked about how irritated we get at that. Yeah. Hey, I see you have a thing at a place.
I think I'd play. It's good for you. I am busy thinking about starting an intramural volleyball league.
Just by yourself.
To be fair, you got a busy week. You got to go bust some ghosts.
Yeah,
dude. I'm busting makes me feel good on these ghosts. I'm gonna find them. I'm gonna find you. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Cheers.
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Feel Feelings Pod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/feelfeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
Lord, such a professional show!